All right. Now I'm back on the Day Shift at 12 podcast, and we will be discussing a lot of lovely topics today. But before we go deep into that, I have a quick message and break to share with you. A friend of mine, whom you might know as the Stoner, has now shared a message with me in which I believe has a great import to me. And with this then being so, I would like to just put a snippet of what he had said on the podcast so that we can, after that, dive into the topics of today. But for all those who are new, all those who are listening in, and all those who have been given the link, welcome and be welcomed in the mighty name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Right, my name, if you might wonder, is Ayabongwa Matiso, but I go under the category of No ID, and Mtamhlekazi, Usaxhosa, yeah, Yonkalon. So we're there. Let's dive into the snippet and then come back.
Joy, let's go. Down on my knees, pray to God every day. Thank you for my heart and the fam all the way. Don't forget the friends that we met on the way. It's a minus thought that we had today. Take another thought just to find another way. Way to the life and the truth, no way. Glory to my side and
so, for today, I want us to be focusing on the living hope that is in Christ and the transformation of our bodies for His sake, right? Which is one of the topics for this night shift. Before we run into anything, let's go back to Jeremiah, the Old Testament, 29 verse 11. Well-known verse, which says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Right. So with this, we see that in Christ we find our living hope. For He is the anchor for our souls, the one who conquered death and offers eternal life. Our hope is not in fleeting circumstances, things of temporary bout, but in the unchanging promise of God. And as we walk this journey, we are called to transform our bodies. Now, if you read in the book of Romans 12, verse 2, it says, when it's reminding us, it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Right? Our physical bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. They are vessels through which His glory shines. So, all we must do as instruction is to care for them, honor them, and present them as living sacrifices. Right? Now, if we look at a message of instruction, right, that will help us comprehend what is being said here, we must know that our weakness becomes a canvas for His strength. Check in Corinthians the second, right, chapter 12 verse 9, the Lord says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." When we embrace our limitations, we then acknowledge how broken we are. Our brokenness. And with this, His strength shines through the brokenness. Because our weakness becomes a testimony to His greatness. In times of your weak, He is strong. That is when we can say in context, andinamandla. Ne? Andinamandla. Amandla ngawakho. Right. So I want us also to press on things like knowing that our sufferings that are not in vain. All our sufferings are not in vain. And in Philippians, the book of Philippians, 3, I think, verse 10, yeah, encourages us, right, by saying, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Therefore, with that verse, I tell you that our trials define us. Refine us. They do not define us. They shape us and they draw us closer to him. So may our lives be a living epistle proclaiming his name, and let our weakness be a testament to his strength, and may our hope in Christ be unwavering, for he is the living hope that anchors our souls. And then from here we shall then go into inputs on what was just said, and we then allow the Holy Ghost to honor the Holy Ghost. I still have to teach on that, the Holy Ghost part. We then allow our spirits to be renewed by the Holy Spirit, and listening in today will then help us, God willingly, to be convicted of our wrongdoing and our parts in which we succumb to weakness and sin, which then originally leads to death. So one of the topics during the week, this is now a foresighting dialogue, where I say that one of the foresight topics for the week are also that we are dead to sin but alive in Christ, in the book of Romans as well. But for now, let's have an input on what was just discussed, and then we can see how far we come, because I want us to rise with questions and stuff like that, all that. Yeah. Masinga sokole sana again, masambeni.
I don't know who you are, but no ID. He's a spirit trapped in a borrowed shell. Isn't that just a bell ringer? I exist as a figure, as a figure. In a world of bad vibes, a troubling situation. People who've rented out the place running in a rat race. Like, where's the signing book? Put a finger on that line. And so they claim a world that's their tenants in. As what's mine is mine. Foolish. No ID, a spirit in the night, shining bright. In the darkness, I'm the light. In the wrong, I'm the right. A philosophical rapper, a mental mapper. In a world of chaos, I'm the rearranger, the rearranged man. In a dedicated, reincarnated man's life. I don't know if I'm a spirit in a shell, ringing the bell. In a world of sell and tell, I'm the well. I'm a lyrical poet, a philosophical prophet. In a world of prophet, I'm the
non-prophet. Let me kindly then start. Well, it is quite easy to look at the verse. When you look at the verse, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, we all know it, and we all like to post it on our statuses, but I believe people do not actually see the message in the verse. Because most of them believe that if I post the verse, they'll think I know it, and they'll think I fully understand it, just because the beggar ibeing at the sound like a man. For I know the plans I have for you. Ever look, he knows the plans he has for me. Everything must go with meaning. This is why we are given the opportunity as Abantu to believe and have faith in Christ in order for us to find eternal salvation, right? And that eternal salvation is the real message behind all of this as well. Because if you look at salvation, it will prosper you, right? He knows the plans he has for you, and he's made the plan visible to us all. And jeba iplan yake is visible, that plan leads to eternal salvation if you go according to that plan. So my thoughts on this verse that is being put before us today, and the topic of living hope, is that we must just thank God every day, and thank God for even the smallest things he has planned for us ahead and before, way before we were even of knowledge that he has planned. And with the topic of living hope, I believe that we will then run deep into the living hope, because I don't yet fully understand living hope. So I want us to go deep into that. But yeah, thank you.
Okay. So in all honesty, I'm also guilty. I was very convicted by this verse. This verse came to me in such a way that it gave me some minor flashbacks of things that I did in the past. So in the past, I used to quote this verse, you know, posted on my statuses and stuff like that, as a means of showing people that I am this, you know, Christian. I am this guy who has this journey to the best of the feasibility and all that stuff, you know. And I got very heavily convicted by seeing this verse and actually reading the context, you know. It's something that I wouldn't have learned if I wasn't taught by the importance of reading the context of the verse. Don't just quote something, you have to know the context of what is it saying. So if we go to the context of what the verse Jeremiah 29 verse 11, in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, we are the title of that thingy, that whole context, is a letter to the exiles, right? We see Jeremiah writing a letter to Jerusalem, to the elders, the priests, as well as the prophets, yabo. And in essence, it's also a conviction, yabo. It's not just a prosperity verse. In a sense, the verse is not a prosperity verse. We as Christians are using this verse as a prosperity verse. Sure, God knows the plans he has for us. God knows the plans for our futures. But in all honesty, this verse has been used in such a way, and I'm guilty of it. I'm very guilty of it, using it as a prosperity verse, as a verse to justify your sinful living. You continue to justify your sinful living with this, instead of it being a means of convicting you and telling you that with Christ there is this hope for a better future, there is this hope of transforming your life. But instead we use it as a false hope of justifying our sins. So in all honesty, that is what I received from this verse, is that we as believers are using this verse as a means of justifying our continuous sinful desires, our continuous sinful beliefs, because we always think that Jesus, we are misusing our grace that we found in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus did die on the cross for all our sins, but we are now misusing. And in all honesty, we are now misusing this thing. I am also heavily convicted because how? Hey, why are you saying such thing? Now I don't understand why I'm saying such things, but this is the time where we need to start speaking about the truth, and we cannot stay content with speaking about things that are going to help people. Like, we are not supposed to be speaking about things that are going to, like, that are going to make people happy. Right now is a time when we're supposed to be speaking about things that are going to make people angry. Right now we're supposed to be speaking about things that are going to make people upset, things that are going to make people want to run out of church. We're supposed to be saying things that are going to do that, you know, things that are going to have you wanting to rebuke the pastor, things that will make you want to rebuke the pastor, things that will make you want you to. Okay, now I'm digressing, but in all honesty, I hope you get the context of what it is, right, that I'm trying to say. So Jim, let me just hit you with a summary of what I'm trying to say, right? Jeremiah 29 verse 11, right, I said that it has been misused in the modern world. It has been misused as a means of justifying continuous sinful desires. It has been used as a false hope, and I don't know if I can say it has been used as an idol, but it is used as a false hope. But in all honesty, what this verse is supposed to be used as, it is supposed to be used as a means of redirecting your life and changing your life and convicting you of what is already wrong with you, which is your sin, and is making, and it's supposed to make you a much better person, and it's supposed to change you as a person and change your viewpoint in your life. I don't know, but I'll just give you a short thing. Thank you very much.
Oh, I thank you, Puti. Thank you, Puti. No, it is quite honest what you're saying, and it goes on with what we're also conversing with in regards to the topic. And I agree completely with you that we are all convicted of, we are all in conviction of misusing that verse, and moreover the other verses as well that are made known because of the ways in which we use them. Thank you, Puti, for your input. It is nice to hear that you have come from testimony, and now you are of conviction, so that you can transform right from your conviction to an action. So this is how our lives work as well. So thank you, Puti man. Sabulela nga input yako, as well as your reflection as well. It is important for us to reflect at times.
Six Buddhas. I think you all have touched on the most important part. We all talked about us quoting scriptures out of context, and I also believe that Jeremiah 29:11 has been quoted out of context, you know, by most of us. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like most of us, we just go with scriptures that benefit us, you know what I'm saying? That benefit our feelings or our ego, you know what I'm saying? That satisfies our ego, You know what I'm saying? We don't actually care about the principles of God, the laws, that it's like the rules and whatever. We just want to satisfy our ego. You know what I'm saying? Because most of people have used the scriptures. You know what I'm saying? Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And what I find, I'm not gonna go through that thingy, the entire, but what I find in this particular scripture are the promises of God. So I'm gonna relate it with the living hope in Christ. So I find the promises of God, God promising us to when He says, "I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and the future." So when I'm gonna talk about hope, I'm gonna talk about hope is based on the promises of God, first of all. So it's based on the promises of God. And the promises of God are in future. So hope as what keeps us alive. You know what I'm saying? So hope keeps us alive because the promises of God are in the future. They are not a now present thing where He's going to promise you something and then drop it like that. You know what I'm saying? But He promises you to not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. So these are what keeps you alive in whatever circumstances, in whatever dealings you're going through, in whatever troubles you're going through. But the promises of God in Christ, it's what keeps you alive. Because the Bible talks about that these, you need to abide these three. You need to abide faith, hope, and love. So these are the most important things. So the hope that we have in God is what keeps us alive. You know, because He has made promises to us. You know what I'm saying? But I think that the whole scenario would need to come to a point where we actually understand that even though God has made promises to us or has given us hope, but all the things that God gives us, they work in principles. You know what I'm saying? They work in principles. So He's not just gonna give you hope. He's not just gonna give you prosperity. He's not just gonna give you plans. He's not just gonna give you a future without first being in Christ, without first following the principle to cultivate the promises of God. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not gonna dive deep. I think you all covered the most important part. But yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Chief Man. Thank you. Because now, I love the fact that you touched on we always seek for verses that benefit us. That benefit us, which means we don't want to be convicted and be of knowledge of what it says. We just want it to support our desires, as Uputi Wapiwa said, right? So I love the fact that you try to link that back to one thing again. And the fact that you go back to what Uputi also said about hope being alive. Hope being living, hope being life, you know, and things that are done long ago being manifested in times to come, in times that are forthcoming, in times that are being built as well, times that have become a present as well. at a time and be a point of our lives. So it all falls under the same plan. Yeah. Yeah. And we'll move towards the culmination of Christ as a being, and the cultivatum of God's plans for our lives and through our lives. Yeah. Thank you, Puti, for your input as well, man. We'll just check if there's anything we had left on the ground, right, on the mat here in this topic, and then we'll start moving towards the second section of my plans for this episode. And this then becomes my favorite part, because this is where we look at the questions we faced in life when it comes to our faith. People who ask us questions and how we answer those questions. So yeah, we're moving. We'll just have a short moment of thought, and yeah, we will get back to everything again.
Just for one thing, it says, it's like when we're also talking about that thing, the living hope in Christ, we are talking about the inheritance we have in Christ. You know what I'm saying? Because the Bible also talks about us being partakers. I think it's in Peter, where Peter talks about us being partakers of the divine nature of Christ. The Bible talks about Christ, who came to abolish death and brought life and immortality to light. He talks about those who believe in him. He made them. He gave them the right to become the children. So in Christ, we have all these promises, all these diverse promises, but they are locked up in him. So when we talk about the living hope in Christ, we are talking about the promises of God that are in Christ, that keeps us alive, that we hope for, that in the end we will be with him, that in the end we shall receive all these things. We shall inherit, we shall partake of all these things that the Lord has promised us, that the Lord has locked up in himself. Because all the promises of God regarding us, concerning us, concerning our lives, they are locked up in Christ. So,
but I think this is what I missed. I just came back. I'm like, no, man, I think, you know, I should share this.
Oh no, Putunga's Kalabis. It's all good. This is how we want it to be, Kakat. We want you to scrape from the mat what you left behind. Now, Puti. If you've left something behind, you can pick it up very fast. We call it from imagine, so amba nayo, because then from here, if you move on, we're going to be talking about other topics which are also in context of this topic, but will be of furthermore context. Conclude whatever you've left behind, and if you feel that you have already concluded in your first statement, then it's already done. Then we can move under agreement then.
Yeah, I think I've touched on everything I wanted to talk about. We can move on.
Thank you, Puti, for confirming. Puta Piwe Gong Sovangawe Puti, Conin Tofunu Pagame Soganye, siyaqhubeka kanjalo.
Oh. Nah, in all honesty, there's nothing. There's nothing I'm here to see. There's nothing that I can say. Yeah. But let's just look at Luke 11, verse 1 up until verse 13. That's my verse to that is my verses to you. So what struck my attention in Luke 1, in Luke 11, verse 1 to 13, what struck my attention was that point which says, "Ask and the door shall be opened, seek and you shall find," and all that stuff. Yeah, boom, the good stuff. And in all honesty, right, the context of that was the Lord was teaching about prayer, right? So how did I get to Luke 11? Funny enough, I had a short prayer after the question, right? After the question of, that I posed, which was, are you ready to move on? And I was like, okay, I have to first ask God if he is ready to move on, because ekugqibeleni it is not me who's speaking here, but it is God speaking through me to give this message. Yeah, but not saying that I'm, because in all honesty, when two or more are gathered in his name, he is there. So in all honesty, I want us to practice that. Practice asking God for direction. Yabo. Mhlawumbe makhona into oziva ngathi ayigejile, or ngisho noma ungayivanga khona into egejileyo, ndingatsho ukuba ngcono umcele uThixo ukuba ayikho into endingabe ndiyigejile. Ngoba mhlawumbe the Lord is gonna point out something to you. Yabo. And in this case, he pointed out the importance of prayer. Yabo. Because in all honesty, I didn't want to find myself in such a situation where I am now using my own strength. When we're talking about all these things, all these biblical things about applying the Bible in your daily life, I wanted to also apply it in my daily life, in this conversations we are having right now, but make it a practice that I shall apply daily. But I ask God for direction in order for me to know. So in all honesty, I believe it's no coincidence that I was led to this verse, Luke 11, verse 1 to 13. I'll just write it in the chat. Luke 11, verse 1 to 13. Just read it for yourself as we go on an ad break, but we are surely going to, we can surely move on. Honestly, I'm excited for the next topic. Cheers.
Well, look at that. I asked Uputi whether he's left anything on the mat, and he was like, "Do you know what? It feels like we've left behind direction from God." So thank you, Uputi, for the conviction. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for being a light in our time of haste and confusion. We are convicted, and thus I speak for myself to say that I shall practice the goodness and the habitual benefit of asking God for direction and help through prayer and through his word of life, as we have read in the book of 1 John chapter 1 to 10. Right. Ininzi into esithethileyo, and there's a lot that will help us during this time of our thought, right? We're going to have a thought period where I will also sharing a few stuff right, during this thought period, and those stuff are going to help us think through what we know and what we have already reflected upon now in this section of the entire session. And then so cela before ndiqhubekeke uba uphelo asi asamkelele uThixo phakathi kwethu njengomthandazana nobuncinci. Small pressure help us invite the Lord among our being and make him direct us further from here. Because if you look at the section we're going to enter now, it's a section of strong faith. Because now they're going to be questions where people who do not believe will be like insulting or criticizing or doubtful, which is something and which is characteristics that we do not carry around when we are in fellowship to glorify God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But these are the questions that we must be prepared to answer, for they are not questions of our importance, and they are not questions that affect our God, but they are the questions that affect our transformation. So we must be able to challenge them and face them and stand firm in our faith. To God be the glory. Amen.
Okay, so I would like to pose first question we asked in our life when it comes to our faith, right? So I will just come from an angle of personal testimony. So I once got a question, right, about our faith, which was the prayer thing, right, which is prayer. Like, I also remember myself I also remember myself wondering, how do you pray, fam? According to the Bible, like, how do you pray? And that is the question new Christians ask themselves. They're like, okay, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, but how do I pray, right? That is a question we ask when it comes to your faith, right? It's a question you ask in your life. But how do you pray? So I think it was not a coincidence that that answer came as fast as it did. I believe that God is aware that we're having such a conversation right now, and God is just giving us these verses to answer. Yeah, but I couldn't. I'm trying to jump the gun or anything, my G. Let's just hear what you got to cook, bro. Let's hear what you got to cook, Aya. Let's hear your questions, bro.
Yeah, all is good. All is good. Thank you for the question, and it is a well contributing question. I love the question, how do we pray? And I love also the coincidental incident of you giving us Luke 11 from 1 to 13. And if you check from Luke 11 verse 2 to 4, we are given then a matter of prayer from the words of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Thank you for the question of testimony and witness as well as experience. I believe that it will come to us as a revelation that God is among us. And indeed, he is directing our path. We shall then accept prayer from Baupelo, and then we shall dive into section 2. Thank you, Puti, for your input. Thank you very much.
I'm about to pray then. Father, who art in heaven, our Father, who dwell in an approachable light, Lord, we thank you, Father, our God. We bless your name, O Father, our God. We thank you for our lives. We thank you, O Father, our God, that you have protected us throughout this day. We thank you, O Father, our God, that you have given us this new day. We ask for your guidance, O Lord. We ask for your protection, O Father, our God. Father, we ask for the spirit of understanding. We ask for the spirit of revelation. We ask for the spirit of wisdom, that we may know, that we may have knowledge in you, O Father, our God. Father, strengthen our soul, Father, in our works, in our dealings with you, O Father, our God. Guide us, O Father, our God, into the narrow path, O Father, our God, that we may stay in your word, O Father, our God, day in and night, O Father, our God. For when we are weak, your strength is made manifest. Your strength is perfected, O Father God, for your grace is sufficient, Almighty God. We pray in the mighty name of Yeshua, that, O Lord, you guide us, that you show us the way, O Father God, that you convict us in our hearts, Almighty God, that you change us, O Father God, that you give us new hearts, O Father God, that you pour your Holy Spirit in us, O Father God, that you give us the fullness of your spirit, O Father God, that we may be in your way, O Father God, that we may align with your way, O Father God, because it is not by power, it is not by might, but it is by your spirit, O Father God, that we are able, O Lord, to be in your presence, that we are able, O Lord, to walk in your ways, that we are able, O Lord, to manifest your strength, O Father God. We thank you, Almighty God. We know, Father God, that you are with us, O Father God. For those who have gathered in your name, O Father God, you inhabit with them, O Father God. You abide with them, Almighty God. We thank you, O Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Glory be to Yahweh. Glory be to the Holy Father, whom art in heaven. Glory be to God. Glory be to Christ Jesus, our Redeemer and our Lord and Savior. Thank you. Thank you for the wonderful and powerful prayer. Now, we can skyrocket. Thank you for the prayer. Thank you very much for the prayer. Yeah. Yeah. We tapped in. Welcome to the day shift, guys. Welcome to the day shift. This is when the real is real. And the unreal is unreal. Yeah.
Hey, my spirit is very high.
Very high. Okay. Without further ado, the first question that we had was, how do we pray? That was from Puti's side. And I believe we'll just put it in the questions as well that I have prepared. But before we continue, I would like us to focus on what we said before, right? Remember, I touched on the promise of God and Yonke Loo Nto, living hope, all that. We talked about Him, who is Christ, being the anchor for our souls, right? But now, we are on a journey here, né? And as we walk this journey, we are called to transform our bodies. Now, when we look at Romans 12 verse 2, it reminds us, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, our physical bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And if you go deeper into that, it shows that we are vessels through which His glory as God shines. So these bodies, we must care for them, honor them, and present them as living sacrifices. How do we do that? Through prayer. And how do we pray? Luke 11, verse 1 to 13, shall be in context of how you should pray, and not be babbling a lot about poor judgment, lack of housing, lack of... He knows what you need. All that is needed from you is for you to acknowledge that He is able to provide what is necessary for you to live in this body. Right? No. Before we start with the questions, check Romans chapter 12, verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love, in verse 9, be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, and bless those who do not curse and do curse you. And you yourselves should not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men, if it is possible, as much as depends on you. Live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that, my brother, is my verses to you. This is why we're here. This is the day shift. That is the basis of the day shift. We are here to bless those who persecute us. And we are here to strengthen and renew our minds in the silence of the world. This is the day shift. And while others are sleeping, we awake. Thank you.